Thanks, Deanne, for that reading. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us at Cross Life Church. Welcome. And thank you also, especially for joining us online. My name is Michael. I am one of the pastors at this church, and I'm going to be speaking from that passage, those passages that Deanne read for us, as well as other ones in the book of Numbers as well. We are doing a series on the book of Numbers. This is our third talk, as I've been keeping on saying so that kind of you guys remember it. Numbers is a round trip from Mount Sinai that Israel takes. They go from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land. They don't enter the Promised Land because they don't trust God's promises. And so they go wandering in the wilderness for about 40 years until they come back. Numbers chronicles that journey. Today, the title for our sermon is When God Disappoints. There are many times in the book of Numbers where Israel are disappointed by God and they complain to him. And that has lessons for the complaints that we bring to God as well. If you have any questions or comments or would like to see other people's questions or comments, we have a Slido up and the details are in the bottom left of the screen. If you go to www.slido.do on your browser and then put that number in, you'll be able to ask questions, give comments or see and like other people's questions and comments as well. And we'll answer the questions at the end of the sermon. I'm going to pray for us as we head into God's word. So please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a loving God. And thank you that you bear with our complaints, our disappointments, and our weaknesses. Lord, we pray that we may see Israel's experience in the wilderness. We pray that we may see their complaints against you. And we pray that we may see how sadly we are a lot like them. We pray that we may seek forgiveness from you and not grumble against you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When a bunch of customer service employees were surveyed to see the worst complaints they ever received, here are some of them. First one, I once had a shareholder that complained that they only got their quarterly statement every 3 months. One person at a restaurant said, this food is too hot. I'd like it replaced with colder food. Third one, I work at GameStop. A customer told me, I'm a huge gamer. I probably know more about any of these games than you, but I'd like to complain that you don't have any copies of Mario for the Xbox. Why can't you do your job and put the copies out here for us? And last one, working at a hardware store, I overhear my manager and a little old lady having a conversation an aisle over. Can I help you, ma'am? I hope so. You're all out of my size of air filter. What size was that, ma'am? 10 by 20. Let me see here. Manager looks around the shelf. Here you go. Hands the lady a 20 by 10 air filter. I said I need 10 by 20. Manager keeps quiet, takes back the air filter, holds it out in front of him, rotates it 90 degrees, and hands it back to her with a grin. Lady leaves in silence. Now, when you read and hear those complaints like that, it sounds really, really stupid. But from the perspective of the person making those complaints, you've got to figure that it just must make complete sense for them to complain like this. Or at the very least, that they're so emotional, that the complainer is so driven by emotion, that complaining just seems like the most reasonable thing to do. And I think we can relate to this because that's what we're tempted to do when we are disappointed, isn't it? Now, I know that when I am treated rudely, when I can't get something that I want, when I feel frustrated, there is this nasty part of me that wants to publicly humiliate people or shame them on social media or make them pay somehow. And it's only after a long time that I recognize that those impulses are foolish. And I'm glad that I didn't act on them. Do you ever complain to God? Are you ever disappointed with God? Maybe you feel like God hasn't given you something that you want. Do you ever blame God for maybe a situation or trouble that you're going through? Maybe you've expressed that in a prayer to God. Or maybe you're just holding it in that there are thoughts and emotions that you are nursing against God and other people that you're hiding and you're hoping that God and other people don't see. And you might say to me, well, no, you know, I love God. I would never complain to God. I don't do that. Well, I would say that even for someone like that, you might not complain to God directly, but that attitude of being disappointed in God is still there. Because whenever we get disappointed or complain about anything, that's a dissatisfaction with the situation God has put us in. In a sense, all our complaints about anything are complaints to God, because God controls everything. Today we're going to see Israel's disappointment with God. We're going to see their complaints to God as they travel through the wilderness. The advantage of reading the Bible, though, is that we get to see their complaints not just from their perspective, but from God's perspective. And we're going to see whether their complaints are justified or not, and what the implications are for the complaints that we make as well. And so the context of the book of Numbers first. In the book of Numbers, Israel are journeying from Mount Sinai, where they got the law, to the land that God promised them. It's a round trip because they get to the promised land for the first time. They don't go in because they don't trust God's promises. And so God makes them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And the rest of Numbers is then about how they wander around and then come back to the land that God promised them, the generation after the first generation. Now, throughout that journey, at various times, Israel complain to God. It keeps coming up, whether it's the first time or the second time they're headed to the promised land. They complain quite a bit. And so let me give you an overview of the complaints that Israel make in the book of Numbers. First one is Numbers 11, where Israel complained to God about not having any meat to eat. God had been providing for them miraculously 6 days a week with bread from heaven called manna. But that wasn't enough for Israel, so they complained to God. They wanted meat as well, and so God gave them quail, but he also punished them with a plague. Second one is Numbers chapter 12, the next chapter, where Aaron and Miriam complain. Now, Aaron was Moses' brother. Miriam was his sister. And Aaron and Miriam complained that Moses got special treatment from God. They were angry because they thought that they were prophets who were just as good as Moses. This is where, by the way, after that complaint, in the book of Numbers, it says, "Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who are on the face of the earth," which is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because Moses actually wrote the book of Numbers, and so he's talking about how meek he is. But God responds to Aaron and Miriam's complaint by saying that Moses is special, because he's the only prophet who gets to see God and hear his voice clearly and not in riddles. And God punishes Aaron and Miriam by making Miriam have a skin disease for 7 days. Third one is Numbers chapter 16, where a Levite named Korah and his followers complain that Aaron and his family were the priests, the holy people, and not anyone else. God responds to that one by destroying Korah and his followers. Fourth one is Numbers chapter 20, where the people are wandering in the desert and they complain that there's no water. Moses strikes a rock and water comes out for the Israelites to drink in a similar way that he did in Exodus. And the fifth one is Numbers chapter 21, the passage we read, where again the Israelites complain about there not being any water in the desert, and God sends snakes to bite them, which are only averted when people look on the bronze serpent that Moses made. And so those are the episodes of complaint in the book of Numbers. And if I had to summarize the complaints of God's people, I think I could boil it down to two main complaints. And the first one is that God doesn't provide. He doesn't provide meat. He doesn't provide water. And the second one is that God isn't fair. God elevates some people over others, especially Moses and Aaron and his family. And so those are the complaints of Israel in the book of Numbers. Now, like I said before, the advantage of the Bible is that we get to see these complaints from God's perspective. And so think to yourself, how would you feel if you were God and Israel came and gave these complaints to you? How would you feel if you were God and Israel told you that you didn't provide? Well, you're probably thinking, well, wait up. You know, who installed Joseph as second in charge to Pharaoh in Egypt during the famine so that food could be stored up and so that Israel could come to Egypt and provide food? Who rescued Israel from slavery in Egypt? Who brought the 10 plagues down on Pharaoh and on your slave masters? Who led you through the Red Sea? Who provided you with bread from heaven and quail and water in the desert on the way to Mount Sinai? You know, God has given Israel all these things already. Israel have seen these things with their own eyes, and still they think God will not provide. How would you feel if you were God and Israel told you that you weren't fair because you made Moses special and you didn't make the rest of them special? And you might think to yourself, well, wait up. You know, don't you know what Moses has gone through? You know, Moses had to flee from Pharaoh and his own people and live in the wilderness. Moses had to confront the most powerful person in the country with nothing but his faith. Moses had to endure the complaints of Israel in the desert, the complaints at the Red Sea, the complaints over food and water. Moses had to be the middleman between the people and God. All those things Moses endured so that Israel didn't have to. And still you think that he is the man with the mansion and the private jet. You know, do you think that God puts a person in authority without also demanding from them an equivalent amount of responsibility? Do you really think that God isn't fair? You see, these complaints that felt so reasonable and sensible from the point of view of Israel do not make sense when you consider them from the point of view of God. And so complaining is all about perspective, isn't it? And I think we know that as well in our experience. You know, one of the things that I used to say to a lot of young guys at other churches was, you will be a person who is anti-authority right up until the point when you become an authority. Once you become in charge of anyone or anything, once you are the person who has to field people's complaints and concerns, you will start to realize how unreasonable some of them are. And hopefully, what that will do is temper the complaints that you make. Now, Israel, they haven't learned that yet. Their complaints, when seen from God's perspective, are as foolish as the customer complaints we saw at the beginning of this talk. They're foolish when seen from God's perspective. And I think knowing that should inform the complaints that we make to God and the complaints that we make to others today. But before I talk about the complaints that we make today, it might be good to ask the question, well, what does the rest of the Bible say about complaining to God? You know, is it ever right to complain to God? Is there ever a time when complaining to God is justified? You might think to yourself, you know, what about when God's prophets like Elijah and Jeremiah complained to God about their persecution? What about David in the Psalms and the other psalmists as well who complain to God about the injustice and persecution that is happening to them? What about even Moses? You know, when Israel complained to him, he complains to God about Israel complaining to him. And what about Jesus as well when he says on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, there are legitimate complaints in the Bible, aren't there? And so how do we put all that together, the unreasonable complaints and the reasonable ones? Well, here are some things that I can say from God's word. First one is that when we complain, we must remember God's faithfulness. And I think this is one of the problems with Israel's complaints in the book of Numbers. They'd forgotten how good God had been to them. They did not trust God despite his history of love and faithfulness to them. You know, it might seem really strange to us that Israel could forget all that. You know, these are the guys who saw with their own eyes the river turning to blood, the plagues of frogs and gnats and flies and darkness. They saw the plague on the firstborn. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They'd seen the bread come from heaven. You might think to yourself, look, how can you forget that? But we're kind of the same, aren't we? You know, we also forget how much God has provided for us. We forget that God has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. We forget that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. We forget that God has given us the secret of being content in every circumstance, that we can do all things through him who gives us strength. And we forget, even in our own lives and in our own Christian lives, the times when God has moved us and comforted us and inspired us and strengthened us, we are also very quick to forget. God has actually given us, Christians in the 21st century, so much more than he gave Israel in Numbers. He's given us Jesus. He's given us eternal life. And all we had to do was just look to Jesus and believe in him like Israel looked to Moses' snake in the desert. We are saved from death and hell because of what God has done for us in Jesus. Does God provide? Well, certainly he has in Christ. Is God fair? Well, Jesus might be the king above all kings, but look at what Jesus had to go through for us, just like what Moses had to go through for his people. And so knowing God's faithfulness to us, that has to temper our complaints in this world. And I think especially when we're complaining about ourselves, most of our complaints are just complaints that things aren't perfect when they're already pretty good. We complain kind of like Dudley Dursley in Harry Potter, who on his birthday complains that he only gets 36 presents. And he complains because last year he got 37. You know, this side of heaven, while sin is in the world, the fact that God has already given us so many things is a miracle. When we complain, we must remember God's faithfulness. Second thing I think that we can say about complaint is that when we complain, we must still trust and respect God. And I think this is also another difference between the complaints of Israel and the complaints of the rest of God's people in the Bible, like Jesus and those of the Psalms. See, the way that Israel complained to God in Numbers is with this demanding and ungrateful attitude that expects God to do what they say. It's kind of like they are the ones who are taking the position of authority. They are entitled to their complaint. Another customer complaint that I didn't read you at the beginning of this talk was one where a person complained she'd been charged 85 cents for a cabbage when she thought the price was 25 cents. When it was pointed out to her that the price was always 85 cents, it was never 25 cents, she said, "Even if I'm wrong, you should give me my dollar back. The customer is always right." You know, that is kind of like the attitude that Israel was having. Now, compare that with the Psalms, which often give their complaints to God while at the same time praising God for his goodness and faithfulness. Compare that with Jesus, who asked God in the Garden of Gethsemane to take the cup of God's wrath away from him, but then also prayed, "Yet not what I will, but what you will." The best complaints to God still have a trust and respect for God. They recognize that God is in charge. And they understand, even as they complain about things like injustice and suffering, they recognize that, well, that injustice and suffering actually still could be a part of God's will for them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 to 11 says about the Israelites in Numbers, "We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents." That was the bronze snake episode. "Nor grumble, as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer." That's the complaints about food and water. "Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come." These are lessons for us. And notice the heart language that is in there, that kind of testing of Jesus, that grumbling and the lack of respect and trust that Israel had. You know, in our world, really, it's the louder you complain, the more you get listened to. Often it's a case that it's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease. But I think in light of this, Christians should be slightly different from that. When we complain, we must still trust and respect God. But finally, also, I want to say, just in case you thought that everything that you do and think has to be perfect before you complain to God, here's the last one. God would rather hear our complaints than not hear them, no matter how unreasonable they are. Notice that when Israel complained to God about food and water, despite their forgetful and ungrateful attitude, God still listened. God still provided. God still bears with his people. If you look at the Psalms, there are many prayers and complaints in the Psalms that border on inappropriate, but they are still legitimate prayers to God that God listens to. As a father, I want to hear what my kids have on their minds, and I would rather hear that my kids have done something wrong or that they are thinking bad thoughts than have them hide it from me. God is similar. He is our Heavenly Father, and God wants to hear what is on our minds with his loving heart, and he would rather have us tell him than try and hide it from him. It's not like we can hide it from him anyway. He's God. And when we do bring our complaints to God, there's no need for us to fear God's judgment like they did in the Old Testament, because we know that Jesus has already paid the price for us. We are already right with God, and nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. And so I pray that that will encourage you as you bring your requests and complaints to God. Speak to God what is on your heart. Do not worry if it is not a perfectly worded letter of complaint. God can handle that. He loves you. God would rather hear our complaints than not hear them, no matter how unreasonable they are. So the next time God disappoints you, what will you do? Will you complain? And if you do, how will you complain? If you're going to complain to God, do it remembering God's goodness and kindness to you already. Do it with a trust and respect for God's authority, yet not what I will, but what you will. But also do it knowing that God loves and cares and that we are right with him already. Israel forgot all those things in the book of Numbers. Let us learn from their mistakes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do live in a world that is marred by imperfection. We do live in a world that has terrible sin going on inside it as well. And Lord, when we are personally affected by that sin, or when we see that happening to other people as well, often we know that we should complain to you. And Lord, we pray that we may do so. But Lord, we pray that when we do, when we ask you, that those complaints may not be entitled and demanding, but rather we pray that we may just ask you, knowing that you are good and faithful, knowing that you have kept your promises to us in Jesus Christ, knowing that you already love us. Lord, we pray that when we speak to you, that we may be open and honest about our feelings with you. But we pray that also we may do it knowing your goodness and your faithfulness and love. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.